shall live and eat and breathe, so that we may proclaim that story that millions and millions of people in the world have never even heard. We have to get ourselves to the point, before we get started this morning, we have to get ourselves to the point that we understand that the vast majority of the people on this planet have never even heard the name of Jesus. And if we think otherwise, we are living in a bit of a delusion. We have got to get over that. And we've got to realize that even in your community, I can promise you there are people who have never been shared, have never had the gospel shared with them. And until we understand that that story is why we live and breathe and eat, then I think we're a little bit missing out on what God has for us in our life. I'm so thankful to be here with you this week. We've got a wonderful time this weekend with your pastor and his family. I feel like they're already our family, and God just knits hearts together within the family of God. We're so thankful to have had that opportunity. My name is Joshua Bell. And Ashley, if you'll stand up just for just a second. It's my wife, Ashley. We've been married 16 years. And our children, I'm not going to point them out, but Evan is my only begotten son, and he is 12. Audrey is our oldest daughter. She's 10. And then little Daphne is 3. And if you need a cheat card, you can go by and get our prayer card. And sometimes I need a card to keep up with everybody. But please go ahead and grab one of those. We are from Arkansas. Don't hold that against us. And let me just give you some in Kansas. Let me just take a second. You know, there's always this debate, is it Arkansas? You know that Kansas and Arkansas come from two different Indian words? And it's okay to say Arkansas and Kansas? That's just free. It's free knowledge. It's free knowledge. The whole thing against us is Arkansas. But we were from Arkansas, born and raised our whole life, grew up in church. We shared a little bit with our testimony this morning. We are missionaries to Field, London, England. We are approved through the Bible Baptist Fellowship International to be missionaries and to fundraise. We are sent out of our home church, that is First Baptist Church in the little town of Valonia, Arkansas. We were on staff there for 4 years. We planted a church out of that church. Now they send us out as missionaries. We have been in the ministry 20 years this year, about to turn 39 in just a couple of weeks. And I've known nothing else but a church. And I was saved at 13. And I was telling Pastor yesterday, I don't know how to do anything else but the Lord's work and his ministry. So I hope that I get to do this the rest of my life, because this is what I want to do, and I'm happy doing it. I have been a pastor. I've been a worship leader, been a associate pastor. I've served as a youth minister and the children. We've just done everything under the sun. I will say this. You're talking about painting the gutters. A little known fact to young guys coming into the ministry is that most of your job will be painting and moving chairs and construction. And anything else that's needed to be done in the church. I always say they ought to give a little construction and painting 101 classes in Bible college, because that would really come in handy. But I have painted so much in church that I don't even need painter's tape. I just need a proper brush, and I can go down. And I won't be here on the 20th and the 21st. So Sorry about that. So, after many years of praying, as we shared this morning, we answered the call to be missionaries, to be church planters in the city of London. And I can remember at the time we were in transition between ministries, and I was working for a trucking company called J.B. Hunt. And I was so excited after the Sunday that we surrendered to be missionaries. And I went to work the next day, and everybody knew that I was a Christian, as it should be in any workplace. They ought to know that you're a Christian. You ought not to have to tell them for them to understand it the first time. But I went, and I was like, hey, exciting news, you know. I was excited because I knew I was going to be leaving the place that I didn't like working. But also I was excited because God had finally answered a long prayer. And I said, my wife and I started to be missionaries yesterday in church. And they said, almost to a person, that's awesome. Well, where in Africa are you going? Or they might have said, where in South America are you going? And I said, and I say today, those places are needy places. India is a needy place. The continent of Africa is a needy place. But so is London. And I realized that I was going to have to talk to people about why London is a mission field. And so this kind of permeated our entire ministry of how do we get the call and why are we going to London. And I hope today to do two things in my talk this morning. Is number one, to show you the great need there is for missions around the world, but specifically London. And also to kind of give you a primer on why we are supposed to be involved in missions. Okay? So hopefully we can accomplish that today. When I began to tell people this great news, I got those questions. But I also ran into our survey trip we took to London. I ran into a young man named Adam Brennan. And Adam grew up in a really rough home life. And the fact that he's in his 20s and he is a devout Christian is a very unique thing as a Londoner. He's a rare animal there. And he's really smart, very good in defending the faith and the Bible. And I began to ask Adam a series of questions about London. Like, people are asking me why I'm coming to London. I know why I'm coming to London, but how can I better talk to people about it? And so I asked him some questions like, what's the spiritual state of London? And what impact have American missionaries had on you personally, Adam? And would you encourage more missionaries, more church planters to come to London? And I sent that in an email. I expected, I'd get back a couple of sentences. But Adam sent me back 2 pages worth of information. And I was like, wow, this is gold. How do I use this? And I asked him, I said, hey, I sent out a monthly prayer letter, and I used these questions and answers to promote what we're doing in this work. And he said, yes. I remember those letters were the most open and most read letters that we ever got. So I've been using that information thus far. So in 2015, I went back for a month, and Adam and I got together, and we did a video of him answering those questions that I just described. And so this is a 4-minute video. You're not really going to see us in it, but you're going to see the questions pop up. You're going to see Adam answer the questions. Well, I want you to pay special close attention not only to what he says, but to who all you see behind him and around him. And hopefully when we get through the video, you'll have a better understanding of why we were going to London.
London is in a very desperate state spiritually. We are one of the hot points now in Europe for multiculturalism and mass immigration. And that's led to many different religions and belief systems coming into the city. And that's then led to religious pluralism, which is the idea that all religions are equally true and should be therefore equally respected. But with that said, London is predominantly secular. Most people adopt a very aggressive atheistic worldview, and they're very suspicious of religion and Christianity. And this has had the biggest impact on the youth culture. It's very common to see teenagers as young as 13 or 14 getting involved in sex, drugs, alcohol. It's considered to be quite normal. And so it's really led to the breakdown of the Christian culture and society at large. I would say it's very important for American missionaries and church planters to come to London. I've been living here now for 26 years, and I can say that one of the biggest problems is that the church has been very influenced by the culture. And this has led to the acceptance of evolutionary theory, fornication, homosexuality in the church, all of these things. And so there's a great need for godly men and women from the States to come to London who are committed to teaching the Bible as the literal, infallible Word of God and restore confidence. I would say that that's very important and very essential if things are going to change with the course of the culture in the UK. I've had the privilege to work with a number of American missionaries and church planters, and they've had a tremendous impact on my Christian life. When I first got saved and began in my the Christian walk. I was very zealous, but I didn't have very much knowledge. And coming to a church where there were American church planters who knew the Word of God and were willing to take me through discipleship, I really grew a lot, I really grew tremendously. And this included things like preaching my first sermon, knowing how to unpack and understand the Word of God and apply it to my life, and being able to evangelize more effectively as well. And so I would say that it's been a tremendous blessing to get involved with church planters and missionaries, and I'm very grateful to God for them in my life. I know Josh Bell, he's a great guy, I've had the privilege of spending time with him, and he's someone I can say who's really passionate about getting the gospel here to London. And I would encourage you to prayerfully consider supporting Josh and his family in their endeavor to get over here. I can't really emphasize enough just how desperate things are in London spiritually. If things are allowed to continue as they are, then it's very clear that within maybe a few years, London will be completely secular and totally unrecognizable from the days of old. And so I really would encourage you to support Josh and his family.
I hope that gives you a little bit of a view into what's going on in that city and that country. As I shared this morning, London has become a post-Christian city, and England is a post-Christian nation. We call our ministry Bridging London, and here's why. When you think about London, you think about the people and the history, maybe a favorite television show. You think about the beautiful buildings, the Queen. But one of the greatest features of England is the River Thames. And it cuts through like a ribbon from the west side to the east side of London. And across that river are over 30 bridges. And one of those bridges are magnificent, like the Tower Bridge, or mundane and kind of really simple, like the London Bridge. No matter what they look like, they all serve the same purpose. And that purpose is very simple. It connects the north side of town to the south side of town. What used to exist in London were spiritual bridges. You could find spiritual bridges all throughout the city, and these bridges would connect you from your sin, where you are in your sin, to Jesus Christ. And those bridges were built by Christians, built by churches. They have a great Christian heritage in that city, but sadly, those spiritual bridges are all but gone. And Ashley and I, our heart's desire through church planting is to rebuild those spiritual bridges and connect Londoners to Christ. Let me throw out a statistic for you. In London, let me just show you this next slide. In London, see that blue? Does it look blue? The blue ring road? That's called the M25. That goes around the 32 boroughs that comprise the metro city of London. And whereas the central city of London has about 9 million, the larger area has 13 million people. Now here's the statistic I want to give you. 99.5% of the population never go to church, even once a year. 99.5% never even go to church on Easter or Christmas. Never. And it's not that there aren't good churches there. It's not that there aren't good Christians there, but there's just not enough to reach the vast majority of people who are there in London who need to hear the gospel. Churches are closing every day. People have turned their back on God. They're very apathetic. They don't see the need for anything that has to do with Christianity. And that's why we want to go and stand in the gap and proclaim the name of Jesus and see revival happen and more people come, not only raised up there, but come with us to help us work and proclaim the gospel. Now, our heart's desire is to work in Southeast London. It's kind of hard to see the River Thames cutting through, but the red box is Central London, and the black box is near a borough or around the borough called Bromley. This is in Southeast London. This is where we are going to live and begin to plant churches. If you look at a map, straight south from London proper is Croydon. So from down south to Croydon, all the way up east to the river is where we're going to begin working. Why are we going to be there? Because fewest number of churches, lowest number of Christians, highest number of poverty, and greatest need in those areas. So we began, as we surrendered our hearts to be missionaries in London, we connect with some people who are already working there that I'll introduce you to in just a moment. But they live and work in Southeast London. But this idea of how in the world are we going to reach a city? How are you going to reach Hayes? If you're going to have a plan, if you're going to have a goal, you got to have a plan. You got to have something that you're working toward. And our plan is this. We have a mission and vision. Now, mission, how many of you ever heard the term, our company has a mission? You ever heard that? If you work in a company somewhere, they have a mission. The neat idea about mission is, what do you want to do? And as the church, as the local church, our job is to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ so people hear it, respond, and become Christians themselves. So I simply want to do Matthew 28, to make followers of Londoners. That's our mission. Now, anybody have a business that has a mission and a vision? They get really fancy, okay? So mission is what we want to do, and vision is how far we want to take it. So this is what we want to do, Acts 1:8. We want to plant 20 churches in 20 years. Now, that is a monumental task, but we believe that God is still big, amen? He is still powerful. He is still the same that he's always been, and it's not can he do the work, but is will we be obedient to accomplish the work he has for us? And if we'll work hard, and if we'll be obedient, I believe that we can plant 20 churches in the next 20 churches just simply in Southeast London. The team that I'm going to be working with, we have this idea of calling our ministry there, church planting ministry, Infusion Church Planting. Now, I'm from Arkansas. We drink a lot of sweet tea. Do we have any sweet tea drinkers here? Okay. So we drink sweet tea. Well, the British love their tea, right? They love hot tea. They put milk in it. I actually enjoy it. I think it's really good. But some people, that's kind of weird. But in order to make tea, what do you got to do? You got to heat up water, right? And then you got to pour that hot water over the tea bag, right? And what happens to the water through that process? It becomes tea. Now, here's a real fancy word. That process is infusion, okay? Well, how do we reach the city of London? We infuse it with Jesus Christ. How do we infuse it with Jesus Christ? We start local Baptist churches that proclaim the gospel, reach people for Christ, and eventually the city doesn't look like the world anymore. It looks like Christ because it's been infused with the gospel. And that is our mission, our vision in a nutshell. Now, that mission and the vision are undergirded by three pillars, and that's evangelism. Isn't that the job? Now, I want you to notice that what we're going to do is nothing new. It's nothing groundbreaking. It's what every church ought to be involved in doing. Number one, people can't, how can they hear unless there's a preacher? Okay? How can they hear about the gospel unless you and I tell them? So we're going to be involved in evangelism, doing street evangelism. In fact, I would love for your church to come and do a mission trip. We'll go to the local high street, and we'll talk to people about Jesus. And guess what? People will get saved if we work hard and we do our due diligence. Secondly, when they get saved, we're going to do this great thing that God has taught us how to do, which is disciple, which is train, not leave people in the infancy in Christ, but we grow them up in Christ so that they can reproduce themselves. And then thirdly, I've already touched on this, we're going to plant churches. I believe church planting is so important because the church is the vehicle by which we reach any city and how we reach the world. Now, I've mentioned them a couple of times. I want to introduce you to our partners. They have raised money just like us. They were approved through the Bible Baptist Fellowship International just like us. And they've already been there about 6 years. Now, have you ever seen any more beautiful family? People ask me, is that a stock photo or are these the people you're actually working with? No, these are real people. These are actual missionaries who live in London. These are the Reeves family. Tarl, that's T-A-R-L, and Adrian, and their three children. And I talk to Tarl just about every day through text, and we call, and we're talking about the vision and can't wait to get there. They have been such a huge help, and I think partnership on the foreign field is vitally important. So we're going to be working with the Reeves family. We're also going to be working with Justin Rhodes. He's been there about a year. And Justin just got engaged to a beautiful, devout Christian lady, and they're going to be getting married this summer. We're actually going to be able to go to their wedding, and so God is already growing our team, and so we're excited about that. Now, I say we have partners, but we also have a third partner, and that is churches, just like yourself. We cannot do what we do. The gospel cannot go out without the church and without the church sending and supporting missionaries. And let me just give you a side note. Missionaries will come through, they'll come and go, and they'll always say, pray for us, which is very important. And they'll say, we need your financial support. But I want you to understand that no missionary is asking for financial support because they're looking to drive a nice car or they're looking to be a jet setter and see the world. They're asking for support. I'm asking for support because there's 13 million people in London who need the gospel. And that's all that matters. They need the gospel. And if no one tells them, they will die and they will go to an eternal hell. I think about the police officer last year who was stabbed on the bridge by a terrorist. And I wonder, did they know Jesus Christ? Did anyone ever tell them? Or are we not there in time? And that weighs on me and it breaks my heart. And no matter how much I care about London, no matter how much I want to see them come to Christ, Christ died for them, and they need to know about it. Here's a few things that you can actively participate in with us. Now, when we ask for you to pray, that is not just missionary ease. That is heartfelt plea. We have felt the prayers of the saints all through our time on the road. I can't tell you how many times we have had near accidents. I mean, one time we had an 18-wheeler blow a tire, and the tire bounced right in front of our car and went over our car. If that isn't prayer working, I mean, I believe it is prayer working. I'm happy to give God the credit for that. And we feel we've had health issues and concerns, and we lost my mom to cancer a few years ago. But the churches that support us and are praying for us or reach out to us on Facebook or send us an email, that is so vitally important. I would encourage you to not only pray, but to spend time fasting and praying for your missionaries. Maybe take a couple of days, and instead of buying lunch, you sit at your desk at work, you sit in your car, you just spend that hour not eating, but focus on the Lord in prayer and fasting. You can also, I'm going to skip the second one, we'll come back to that. You can also, I want you to pray about coming with us. If you know a college student that would love to come and do a short or long-term internship, we'd love to talk with them. We'd love for your church to come and stand side by side with us and help us do the work of evangelism and do ministry there and see what we're doing. And, of course, I've already touched on, we can't do any of this without sustained financial monthly support. Now, I realize I've flown through a lot of information because I really want to get to the Bible this morning. But if you have any questions or concerns or things that popped up that you wanted to ask me, please come by afterward. I'd love to get to know you and answer any questions you might have. So let's move to the Word of God, which is my favorite thing in the world to do. Now, I believe, and you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 28. I'm going to move around just a little bit this morning, but you can turn to Matthew 28. I believe that every church ought to be involved in supporting mission work. I believe churches ought to be involved in supporting missionaries and church planners all over the world. But, I'm being honest with you, because when I say this, you're going to think I'm self-serving. But I believe every church ought to be involved in supporting missionaries to London. Okay, I'm not ashamed to say that. And our focus today, you can pull out London and you can put Hayes in its place or Kansas in its place. But I think it'll ring true as we walk through this. I don't want you to take my somewhat biased opinion that every church ought to be involved in missions. I want you to look at Scripture this morning, and I want you to consider three important reasons why missions is important. And the first thing I want us to consider is the world is to be reached. Now, before we get into it, when I say the word world, I'm not describing the earth, okay? I'm not describing the ground beneath our feet. When I say the word world, I'm talking about like the wide world of sports. When I talk about world, I'm not even really talking about that connotation. What I'm talking about is world this morning equals humanity. So when I say the world is to be reached, I'm saying people need the Lord. People need to be reached. Now, when we look at Matthew 28, we know this as the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28. And verse 19 says, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So as we live our life, as we go to work, as we are a teacher or a stay-at-home mom or a doctor or a lawyer or police officer, as we go, we are a Christian first, and we are to take the gospel among the nations. Okay? We are to proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, it's been said, this is one of my favorite missions quotes, it's been said that missions exists because worship does not. Missions exists because worship does not. Now, what does that mean? Okay? What does that mean? And before I get too ahead of myself, I want to develop this morning what I call a spiritual math problem. Okay? If you don't like math, don't worry. It's not too difficult. Okay? So, if you're a Christian this morning, you've probably asked yourself, what is God's will for my life? You ever ask yourself that? What does God want me to do with my life? I've asked that question many times. And I'm going to give you the answer of that this morning. Okay? When we look at the Great Commission, it says, go, therefore, and proclaim the gospel. Okay? The will of God for every believer on the planet when they get up in the morning is one thing, to proclaim and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the lowest common denominator. That's where we all start. What we trick ourselves with, what we get mixed up with, is how does God want us to carry that out? Now, in that, it's very different. Some of us are Sunday school teachers. Some of us are preachers. Some of us proclaim the name of Jesus Christ as a working a job or a teacher, all those different things. But the main thing is that we are to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ because the world is supposed to be reached. Okay? Now back to my other statement. Missions exist because worship does not. What that means is that if the entire world worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would I need to go to London to proclaim the gospel? You can answer, it's okay. No, I wouldn't need to go. Why? Because the job is already done, right? How many of you know people that need Jesus? Okay? Weighs on your heart, doesn't it? Let's go back to this for a second. So, if we're saved, we're called to proclaim the gospel, right? Everybody with me? Okay? Next. The work of missions, the work of proclaiming the gospel, is it finished? No. Okay? So there's one plus one. Okay? Next. I am really looking forward to being in heaven one day, to being free of sin, to being free of sickness. I mean, how many of you cannot wait to be rid of this evil called cancer? I mean, is cancer not the most... It's one of the most awful things that plagues our existence. And I'm just tired of seeing people die from it. And I look forward to the day where all that's gone. I look forward to the day when there's no more baldness. You know, I firmly believe that when I'm in heaven, I'm going to have long Goldilocks. And, you know, I'm going to be restored, you know, to my to a sinless nature and my heavenly body. Will be not fat and not bald, and I won't have back problems or knee problems or anything like that. But we always are excited about the things that are not going to exist in heaven. Well, one sobering thing for me that's not going to exist in heaven is no longer will there be the ability in heaven to tell people about Jesus. Evangelism will not exist in heaven, right? Because again, everybody who's there is there for a reason, right? So let's go back to our math problem here, right? So we're saved, we're called, right? We agree to that. It's our job of the world to be reached. Secondly, we know people who need Jesus, so the work is not done. Thirdly, we only have while we have breath in our lungs and our heart beating to do the work that God has called us to do, right? You see how those add up? To not complacency, to not, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or oh, I'll do it when I'm older, or yeah, that's a younger man's game. No, those things add up to the world just to be reached, and it is your job and it is my job to be about it every single day of our lives. If you didn't tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow, if you said no to the Spirit when it told you to share your faith with the cash register, the cashier, or if you said no when God prompted you to invite your waitress to church today, that moment is gone. And if the world is going to be reached and it's supposed to be reached, then his people, we have to be about his business. But we have to get serious that it's our job and not somebody else's job. It doesn't matter where God has you or where God sends you. What matters is being obedient to answer the call to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. If Hays, Kansas is the only place God ever has you in your life, that's great. That's fine. Reach all of Hays until there is no man, there's no woman, there's no child who hasn't at least heard the gospel. And if you're a Christian and you live in this town, that is your job. Be about it. We're going to London to do the very same. So the world is to be reached. Why should we be involved in missions? Number two, the world will be represented in heaven. If you want to turn quickly to Revelation 5:9, we're going to read one verse there. I love this passage. I love this passage because in this passage we have this heavenly worship service. We have this heavenly scene. People, saints, are singing praises unto Christ. And in Revelation 5:9 it says, "And then sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Why is this one of the most encouraging scriptures to me? Because by the hand of God, through the work of the Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the work of every believer, people from everywhere will be represented in heaven, singing praises to God on high. How many of you have ever done anything in vain? Have you ever tried to get your teenagers to get in their room? It's like futile, right? We have this joke in our car. Kids, how many times have we said, get Daphne's bag out when we get out, right? And inevitably, we forget. We're always going to the restaurant. Oh, we don't have the bag. You know, there's so many things that we do. I mean, have you ever worked really hard for a promotion? I think they gave it to somebody else. Anybody been there? And you get a little bitter. You're like, why am I working so hard? I'm not being recognized. You know, there are lots of things in our life that we do in vain. It just seems pointless. But let me give you some hope today. Whatever you do for the kingdom, whatever you do in the name of Jesus, whatever you do to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, will never return void. You know, you send missionaries across the world. We're going to go to London. We're going to preach the gospel, and people are going to get saved. And you know where their eternity is going to be? In this passage, singing praises to the Lord. We get a peek into what's going to happen in the future. We get a peek. Isn't that exciting? That what we do, what we give, how hard we work, whether it's painting the building, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's inviting our friends, whether it's teaching the Sunday school class, whether it's giving missions, no matter what we do, it never will return void. We may plant the gospel seed in people not knowing what the individual result will be, but we can rest assured that souls from all over the world will be saved and be in attendance in this glorious scene in future heaven. If that old preacher that always used to say, if that doesn't light your fire, then your wood must be wet. Okay, I'm telling you, if that didn't get you excited, that didn't get you pumped up to say, no matter what I do, God will do something with it. There will be a reason. So the world is to be reached. The world will be represented in heaven. And thirdly, the world resides in my city, in London. I love the verse, John 4:35, that says, say ye not, there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You see, there are millions of people who need and are waiting and ready to hear the gospel, especially in the city of London. And I want to get there. We want to get there to proclaim the name of Jesus and reap that harvest. Let me tell you a little more about London. London is a town of 13 million people. There are hundreds and hundreds of languages spoken. In fact, out of all the unreached people groups in the world, some of the most unreached people groups have a representative that live in London. What does that mean? If we reach London for Christ, we can reach the world. If we reach people in London, they can go back to their home country and reach people that, as an American, I can never get into that place. And we can reach the world from London. There are 1,000 people groups in London with a population of over 10,000. So just take one people group, one of those 100 people groups, and each one of them has 10,000 or more people. London is one of the most diverse places in the world, and we can reach the world from London. Let me finish with a couple of quotes. I don't know if you're familiar with the famous pastor Charles Spurgeon. He actually preached in London, and his church is still in southeast London, really close to the river. His life burned very bright, but very shortly. He did an amazing amount of work. He had one of the largest churches in the world, and he had the largest church in London. And he said this: by the love and wounds and death of Christ, by your own salvation, by your indebtedness to Jesus, by the terrible condition of the heathen, and by that awful hell whose yawning mouth is before them, ought you not to say, here am I, send me. Again, maybe God's not sending you to London, but maybe you can send someone like our family to proclaim the gospel there. He also said that as we should have no horticulture if men had no gardens, so we shall have no missionary work done unless each person has a mission. Now, what I want to challenge you with this morning is, yes, London's needing, and yes, we want to get there and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're moving to London in July either way. But what I want you to know this morning, what I want you to ask yourself this morning, is what is my mission? And am I accomplishing it every day? I want you to pray and ask the Lord this week, God, what is it that you want me to do that I haven't been doing? God, give me boldness to tell someone about Jesus this week. It starts with one. God, give me boldness to live out my faith in front of my coworkers. So forth and so on. What is your mission? London is ours. God planted that seed in our heart, and we will go there, and we will be obedient to that call. But you too must be obedient to be involved in missions and to know what God has for you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I realize that there may be people here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, and what you want from them today is to confess their sins and make you the Lord of their life and be saved. And I pray that no one will leave here today without getting that right. Lord, I pray for Hayes. I pray for this church. This church can turn the world upside down with the gospel if they'll just trust you and be obedient. I pray for that. I pray that you help each one of us to know the mission that you have for us, and help us to answer it and be obedient to it. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you very much. As we dismiss in this next few moments, just on the back table, is their stuff, get one of their prayer cards. Also, over by the